Welcome to Brand Appeal, where we talk about brand storytelling in the digital age. I'm your host, Shannon Peel, and today I talk with Lauren Clement, a brand strategist and expert who wrote the book, Your Brand's True North. We talked about how to get your brand to stand out, why so many brands are not standing out, as well as what is branding and why is it so important to your business, along with a lot of other interesting conversation topics. But before we get into talking with Lauren about branding and your brand's true north, just wanted to take a second to let you know about a product I just launched. Now, how much time does it take you to create content? And how you know you've got to get around to getting that book or that ebook download so you can ask people for their email address or at least figure out whether or not they're ready to buy your product or service by triggering that they're interested by downloading your ebook. Well, I've got the solution for you. I have created some ebooks that I've white labeled, which means you get to put your name on them as the author, you get to brand it, and not only that, if you buy the personalization package, I will brand it for you and interview you, write 3,000 to 4,000 words about your brand story to personalize the book and make it 56 pages. That's right, 56 pages, which means that you can break it up into 6 different ebooks that for downloads are giveaways, or you can add a little bit more and upload it into Amazon. The purpose of these white label ebooks is to get you seen and known in the marketplace as an expert in what you do. To take a look at the titles that are available today, as well as titles that are coming up, go to marketappeal.com, go click on books, which is right underneath that yellow book on the upper left-hand corner, and see what titles are available. If you want to know more information, just click on Book Appeal in the menu bar, and in the drop-down, go to White Label eBooks. Well, now that that promotion is over, let's get into this and talk to Lauren and see what she's up to.
I was given a business card. Well, I wasn't given it actually. It came in my letterbox. So I was out there in the heat of the sun in Australian summer getting my mail. And I opened my box and all the mail fell on the floor. And it was like, oh. And this business card landed on top, this blue business card. And I picked it up with my mail and I read it. And I just laughed. And I thought, I have to take a photograph of this card. And I use it when I speak in presentations and my keynote presentation. And the top of the card says cheap man in ute hire. Now a ute is a utility vehicle, so a pickup truck. And he did everything from pet feeding to lawn mowing to moving house to taking you to the doctors to Elvis Presley impersonations, jumping castle, rock and roll band, you know, everything on this card, open 24 hours, 7 days. Absolutely ideal for me to show. You just don't want to do this. You know, you can't be that. But what if he had, you know, just chosen to, I don't know, mow lawns dressed as Elvis? I would have paid to see that, and I don't even have a lawn, right? He would have got in the news. He could have become a real superstar just by choosing those two things to go, hey, let's just do something that is a bit unusual and just niche down a little bit more. He could have Marilyn Monroe cleaning someone's house and James Dean cleaning their car. You know, you can imagine Elvis taking out the rubbish. The Willy Burners left the building. He just, you know, he'd have an absolute blast with it, but he didn't. He was just trying to be everything to everyone and, you know, not doing it particularly well. Multitasking really isn't a thing. It's just doing lots of things very badly. If you just try to do too much, and certainly if you don't practice what you preach, you know, if you don't deliver on your brand promise, it just devalues your trust currency and people just won't hire you. And worse, your reputation is at stake. Jeff Bezos, you know, your reputation is what people, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And you need a good reputation. You need people referring you out there. So it's important to do what you say your brand does.
Exactly, exactly. And as someone who has a lot of different platforms and a lot of different things, you know, I keep telling myself, well, at least they all fit together. It's about creating a multimedia experience for people to come and get the information on this topic and not, you know, trying to be Elvis over here. And that's like schizophrenic, right?
But you're very lucky. You're very fortunate. I love your brand because you've got a fabulous surname that you've managed to turn into your brand name. And it's just, you know, I've got fabulous friends with surnames like Love and Brand and Peace, and there's some fabulous names, and I can't use that because I don't have a name that means anything like that. But I mean, that's the, you know, the Alexander Graham Bell who created the telephone, and the, you know, all these things, Thomas Crapper who invented the toilet. You know, this is a great opportunity. If I had a surname that made a lot of sense with what I do, I'd absolutely be using it. So I love that part of your branding, and the fact that you are talking always about how can you be appealing to yeah. your audience? You know, how can you resonate in everything that you do? And it just works so well.
Yeah, because the whole platform, as a big platform, is all about giving people the information and the solutions to create an appealing life, career, or business. Right now, where I'm at, it's me putting out the information, but the next step of this is to provide thought leaders a platform that they can come to and start building their authority and credibility, because you know what it's like, you're trying to do everything. Well, you're trying to build an authority site to say that you're to get on Google, but the SEO of that alone is going to kill you. It's every day you have to be working on that. So why not come onto a site that's already got that and a community built in of people who are members of different programs, then you can connect with, because there isn't all the noise of social media. My biggest issue with social media is that there's so many people on there getting in my way of between me and my audience, or me and the people that I want to connect with, because they're screaming so loud. And they're just there. And there's no real value in what I see, or I'm trying to connect with them. I'm trying to write something, a comment, find something to comment on, and it's not there. Or my audience, although they have a profile, they're just lurkers, or they don't log into, you know, LinkedIn at all.
It's a good point that you make though, Shannon, because everything you do is fine. All the activity and everything anyone does in terms of getting out there is better than doing nothing. But you do need to have a platform. You need to have something that you bring them back to. And that might just be your process. A lot of people I work with, it's like, well, I love coaching, or I love speaking, or I've got an expertise, or I've got a history or experience, but how do I turn that into a money-making something? It just needs to be a platform and a program and a process that is uniquely yours. And really, as long as you delve into, okay, so what is the problem that I solve? Back to that west of our compass. What's my expertise? What is the thing that I do really, really uniquely or differently, or my approach, or the things that I do with ease that other people find difficult? How can I turn that into a process for the people that need that help? Then how can I make sure that my brand paints a picture of the outcome and shows people that they can get what they want if they work with me? And then how can I tell my story so that people actually trust me and they know me and they feel like they want to work with me because they feel that they're familiar with me? So if you can pull that together and create a platform. That platform could be a podcast, could be a community, could be a program, could be a book, could be speaking, could be an entire product, a business, a range of programs, whatever you want to do. But first of all, create your platform, and then use your social media to draw people in and get them to come back to be part of that platform. But you've got to have something to monetize. You've got to have some way of saying, you know what, it's great to do what I love, but you need, the Japanese call it ikigai, you know, the ability to do what you love and be well paid for that, to survive by enjoying what you do. And it's really important that people do that, because if you're just out there for likes and for, you know, people following you and how many Instagram people I can get, and look, it's possible, and people build amazing businesses on YouTube and TikTok and get paid all sorts of money from advertisers and make millions and so on, but it's a very rare few. Mm-hmm. It's a very small number of people who can do that. And as you say, Shannon, they're dedicated to it. They spend every hour of the day editing and on there and creating and getting out there and so on, becoming these celebrities online. It's a far easier way to have a unique approach, a unique process or platform or whatever it is you have, and just bring people into your community. You don't need many people to be creative and to be successful. You don't need hundreds of thousands of followers to be a successful entrepreneur. You know, 20 great clients paying you $20,000 is a nice little business if you're starting on your own. And if you've got a program or a process or an approach to life or something that's different, and you can attract people to your business, And make sure that it's, you know, maybe an asset that you can sell or products you can create out of it, then you're away. You're absolutely laughing. And the nice thing is, Shannon, when you're doing it based on what you love, it doesn't feel like work.
Oh, no, it doesn't feel like work. Like, all I do is work. I mean, this is part of my story, is one of my big values is hard work, and it's multi-generational. My parents learned it from their parents. I learned it from my parents. I taught it to my children. You know, people go, oh, the Gen Z, they're just lazy. I'm like, well, you haven't met my kids yet. They're anything but. So I do talk a lot about waking up in the morning and starting on this and being so dedicated to it that I don't finish until it's time to go to bed. Because this is so important to me. And it is such a big job. You know, it building a platform, trying to get traffic to it, is an immensely labor intensive job. You don't have the resources to hire people and create a team. It is extremely, like I said, time consuming. When I look at the analytics of my website, the stuff coming from Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook, they're on, they're off like that. My bounce rate is really high with them. Why? Because they are in zombie scroll mode, right? They are just scrolling through. They're just looking through this. Social media is really great for brand awareness. Put your logo on everything, let people see it. Don't worry about driving traffic, because the traffic that you get is not going to be ready for the message on your platform. Make sure that your platform is very well SEO'd, so that when they're ready to be there, they get there and they go, oh yeah, I remember this company from here, or they search you out. And when I was selling advertising, I would talk to people and they'd be like, oh, well, they need this keyword. Or why are you not focusing on making sure that when they sit down to do a Google search, they're Googling your name? Not your industry, not your solution, they're Googling your name. Because by the time they've hit Google, it's too late. And it's going to be extremely expensive in Google AdWords, which is what has happened over time. Like, when I was telling people this, it wasn't highly expensive, but I could definitely see it becoming highly expensive because of the small amount of real estate.
The competition for our eyeballs is just ridiculous compared to what it used to be. I mean, we used to have, you know, TV, radio, press, billboard, out, you know, there was like a limited number of ways of reaching audiences. It's just not the case today. Do you think, Shannon, as well, it's even more important that people are really consistent? And I remember a campaign years ago that we ran, and we had different telephone numbers. So there was a different telephone number on the TV campaign.
Oh, yes.
Versus what was in the magazines versus what was on the radio. So that was to try and work out where the calls were coming from. And so often people would say, oh, I saw it on the TV. But the number they'd rung was the number from the newspaper, because they were sitting at home looking at the newspaper for the telephone number, but they had seen it on TV. So, yeah, it's all about that convenience factor. But because the ad that we put out there was exactly the same on TV as it was in the newspaper, and it wasn't the same brand, that convenience and that recall factor was there. It's really, really important. So I want to have a little game with people who might be listening to the podcast, Shannon, to prove that our brains don't like new stuff all the time. They actually like what they know. We're built for comfort and for security. Yeah. If you turn your foot around in a clockwise direction, just twiddle your foot around in front of you,
okay,
in a clockwise direction. And then while you're doing that, if you hold your finger out in front of you and draw the number 6 and watch what happens to your foot,
yeah,
goes back the other way, right? So, I mean, how long have you spent twiddling your foot around in a clockwise direction? Not often, right? But you've probably drawn the number 6 for years and years and years. So your brain overrode what was new with what it knew. This is why it's so important, as you say, that consistency of getting out there with the same brand message, using your brand colors, your logo, your tone of voice, you know, sharing those stories and telling them over and over and over again. It might be very boring for you because you feel like you're regurgitating and so on, but people need to see you over and over again and know that you're the same person and feel like they're in their comfort zone, so that when you do shock them out of that, you know, just scroll mentality, they feel comfortable on your website. Because you're right, Jen, it's Social media is not about staying on social media. It's about getting people off social media into a relationship with your business and with your brand and talking to them and getting to know them and then selling to them.
Exactly. And some things that you were talking about then, like one of the things that I talk about now in my presentations is the same thing I talked about 15 years ago when I was selling in advertising. And that was understanding why people go or where people are at when they see your message and how they're interacting with that information. What you said about TV and the paper, you know, we used to use those different numbers all the time to prove that our system worked. I was talking to a realtor once and they were going, oh yeah, no, I got my benches. So they got my name and my phone number and my website on them. I looked at them and said, okay, so how many times do you stop on the side of the road to write down somebody's name, number, and website? Total wrong use of space right there. You should have your face, your tagline, your name, and the company that you're with. That's it. Because nobody is stopping to write down your name and number. But make sure that your name and number is going to show up when they Google it. Make sure that you are where they go, like the phone book, to find the phone number. Make sure that you're on the right directories, that the number is on the MLS when they pull up the listing. There's just lots of different ways to make sure that your brand was recognized as the option to choose when given choices.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a part of our brains that helps us with our memories. And it's really interesting. You know, we've been, like you say, totally bombarded with content at the moment from everything, from billboards to the back of cereal boxes to there's so much out there. And our brains are filtering all the time. It's filtering out the stuff that we're not interested in and only bringing to our attention the things that we need to know. We know this. It's called reticular activation. The minute you tell your brain you're interested in something, so for example, it might have been a particular make or model of car that you went, oh, I quite like that car, or I want those shoes, or I want that red jacket, or whatever it is. As soon as you're telling your brain this is what you want, it'll find those things. And all of a sudden, you'll see all of those BMWs or all of those red handbags or whatever it is. You'll see them everywhere.
Yeah.
They were always there. Just you didn't notice them because your brain didn't think it was important. So you're right, Shannon. The minute you can make your brand important to somebody, when they do need you as a plumber or they do need the hairdresser or they do need a life coach or they do need an accountant or whatever it is, your brain will automatically pick up, oh, there's that brand that you saw last week, and there it is again on social media. And I know there's a lot of stalking that goes on with a lot of the algorithms now that, you know, we know for certain when we say something, Siri will hear us and all of a sudden it'll come up in our newsfeed. We know that that happens, right? So what's happened is today's marketers have figured out how our brain works and how that reticular activation works. And if we say something and it sounds like we're interested in it, or we've searched for, I don't know, searched for coffins, or we've searched for dog grooming, or we searched for, all of a sudden we get bombarded with those ads, right? So all that's happened is that our marketing world has caught up to the ability to work with how our brain operates. But our brain operates the same it's operated for years. We still buy with emotion. We justify with fact. We love certain brands and we become very loyal as long as they look after us. I think one of the biggest problems facing most brands today, Shannon, is lack of loyalty. Yes. And especially when you've got supply chain logistics problems like we have, increased costs of living, people are prepared to give up certain brands if they're not looking after you. In order to get a cheaper deal or to get, if they have to wait too long for something, they will go and find an alternative.
Yeah.
So it's a really important time right now, I think, for people to think about their brand promise.
Mm-hmm.
And again, every single time you do anything, just think about, would my brand do this? And no matter how often I get tempted to go on TikTok, I never will, because TikTok is not where my brand lives. It just, I cannot see myself running around the house, filming myself doing stupid things because it just doesn't fit with my brand. I do stupid things all the time, but catching it on camera, I'll leave that to my 21-year-old daughter to do, which she does on a regular basis. But I'm not going to share that with the world because it doesn't fit with my brand, right? So as long as you've got a clear sense of what it is that your brand stands for, even if you think about it as, if my brand was a person, would it do that? Mm-hmm. Would it say that? Would it behave that way? If my brand was a person, and if it wouldn't, then don't do it. Go with your instinct, because you're probably right. And just stick to your true north and use the technology, you know, in the best way to create the right impact and to reach the right people. But don't rely on it to build your brand. You've got to do that.
That's right. Exactly. Lauren, you know what? Thank you so much for coming on to Brand Appeal today and talking to me about branding and how to stay the course and find your true north. Where can people find your new book?
Finding Your Brand True North. This is it here. I've got these because I've been studying some of the stories that I share in order to share them in a keynote. But Finding Your Brand True North, you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on my website. Just Google me, you'll find me. And that's the second of my best-selling books that's out. There's another one called Selling You, which is a personal branding guidebook. This one is very much around the stories behind brands, mm-hmm. and why they're named a certain way and how you can really start to tell your story better. But it goes through that process of finding your brand true north, the west, east, south, and north, so you can really package your brand together and get that clarity, which is such good fun. It's I've loved writing that book, actually. It only came out a very short time ago. Earlier on this month, actually, and the feedback from it's been fantastic. People love the stories, which is brilliant, because there's so many amazing brand stories out there, aren't there?
There are, and I am just hooked on brand stories. I like commercials, just odd that way.
we watch the ads, right? You don't mute them, you watch the ads, yeah.
Exactly, especially when they're good. Thank you so much, Lord, and I really do appreciate your time.
I
hope that you enjoyed today's episode as much as I enjoyed recording it and talking with Lauren. If you want to know more, make sure that you check out the description or the show notes there to find out more about how she can help you. And don't forget to get her book, Your Brand's True North. If you want to look into your brand a little bit more and figure out what it is that you want to be known for, you are welcome to drop in Friday mornings, 9 a.m. Pacific time, that's Vancouver and LA time, to talk about how to get known in the marketplace and how to get your brand in front of the right audience. We brainstorm a bit, we talk about what it takes to get known, and I'd love to see you there. Or feel free to drop me a line. You can go to marketappeal.com, click on contact underneath that coffee cup, and you'll find my email address. Or, of course, you can always go into community and get the conversation started in the social community. Well, listener, until next time, peel out.